Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King. Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am. Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
So my coffee this morning tasted like garbage.
Yes.
I don't know about your guys's.
Looks like tea.
No, that one's still setting up on the counter. Because it tasted like a trash compactor exploded in my mouth.
Did you make it?
No.
You bought it?
Yep.
Not from our favorite place, though.
What's our favorite place?
I'm not naming names if it's bad.
No, I don't drink their coffee because it sucks. I got it at Starbucks.
Which apparently tasted like a trash compactor exploded in your mouth.
But I did never mention, I was supposed to give a shout out to Rosie for the amazing bagel sandwiches.
I thought
they
you
are
did.
Good. They're good.
I thought that happened, but
no, I never
it happened
it.
Now.
No. No, I don't think it ever did happen.
I forget.
So I'm bad at bowling.
Yep.
And an 8-year-old kid beat me.
You're sticking your fingers on balls again?
Yes.
Yeah. What'd you score? What'd you get?
A 74.
That's pretty good.
I got you. I totally got you beat.
That's like a C+.
Wow, that's not hard. What did you get?
We some friends at a bachelor party, and I was completely sober. I didn't drink at the time. Went bowling. I was genuinely trying to bowl. I was stone sober. I got a 34.
Ooh,
that's rough.
Yeah.
34 is like you didn't even throw any balls down the lane.
I got an honest, genuine, making an attempt 34.
You know what the problem is? Your arms are bow-legged, probably, so you just threw them to the gutter.
Well, I've done it since
Wouldn't
then and
bow-armed?
like did much, much better. I have no idea what perfect storm of horrible bowling occurred for me to get a 34, yeah. But I'm very proud of it. I dare anyone to honestly try their best and get a 34 while sober. I don't think you
That's
can do it.
It's hard to do. I've seen it done.
I'm going
to
step it up. I'm going to start going like late night training. Is it busy on a... Is it busy on Saturday, like Friday, Saturday nights? I saw they're open till 1.
Yeah, it's busy.
I just want to be alone somewhere with no league night and get two lanes to myself and try to...
You got
to
go like Sunday afternoon.
Yeah?
Like that'd be a decent time to go.
That's today, sir.
Like 2 o'clock. They might have leagues sometimes going on in the afternoon on Sunday, but I remember I was going before, like between 12 and 2, and you could go. But I was just getting... I stopped, though, because Sherry was pregnant and she couldn't bowl anymore. But I was getting up in like close to – I'd bowl like 180, 190, 200. Like,
that's really good.
Stay right in there.
Because you only have really to – I don't understand how the whole strike thing – it doesn't count the strike, then it adds the points. Like, it's not that there were 10.
It's excessive. So, like, if you get a strike and then you knock down 9 pins, you get extra points basically for your spare and all that stuff. Like, so if you get a spare, you get extra points added on to your next score. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like successive. So if you have a strike, and then you have another, and then you get like a 9 and a spare, well, then you'll start picking up. Not only did you get the 30 points from the strikes, but you get more points added into your, you know what I mean? It's like 30, 60. And then plus your spare. Like,
I got so frustrated. I thought I had it figured out. Like, the first one, I was like, oh, just knocking the cobwebs out or something. And the next one, I got a strike. And I was like, oh, I think you kind of got it figured out. It's just like between those two lines, throw it easy, keep my hand like this. I got this. Next one, gutter ball. I was like,
son of a bitch. So, one.
I didn't cuss. I almost cussed.
You almost cussed.
No, and then you didn't know that the bowling balls that you get in the lanes are just plastic, basically PVC balls. They don't have anything in them. When you actually have like a pro ball or a better ball, they have weights inside of them. So that's why some of them hook better. Some of them have a harder hook. Some of them have a softer hook. So you can kind of mold your game depending on the ball.
The guy standing next to me definitely had one of those because he also had a headband, a wristband, and poured like salt or chalk or something on the floor.
Nice. Yeah,
and was like,
you know, when I throw my my tendonitis armband on, you know, I'm ready for game.
Yeah, that's right. you and Jesus are gonna get next to each other and bowl.
Yep. I know, Dave.
You're listening to Bowling for Radio.
Yep.
This is what I was gonna say. Dave has some mentions of some people while we were talking about bowling for too long.
I was gonna read some listener comments about our topic for today, which is not bowling. It is solar and alternative energy. again, it's a topic that we were asked to discuss. And as always, we're encouraging all listeners to get online, hit us on Instagram, hit us on Facebook, tell us something that you're interested in, that you want to know more about. We will do some due diligence and research it, find out what there is to find out, and we will come back and give you our take on it. And today, our take is on solar and renewable energy.
And give us better topics so we can have fun talking about them, please. Instead of trying to poke my eyeballs out reading about stupid crap.
What's wrong with solar energy? It's the future, my friend.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay. So we had a couple. I'll start with my favorite quote about it. And since this is the radio edition, I'm going to substitute the word frack, much like Battlestar Galactica, for all the swear words.
Okay.
This comes from listener Terry McGee.
Oh, yeah.
Frack PG&E and frack Thomas Edison. That frack-sucking motherless frack was a hack who stole all his frack from Tesla and others! Exclamation point.
There's a lot of fracking going on in there.
You know, I watched...
which ironically is also a way to get natural gas out of the ground.
Have you guys seen... I did this on accident. I didn't even know it was going to come to it. But have you seen Futureland?
No.
Is it a Disney movie?
No.
It's actually really good. Like, your kids would like it.
Oh, wait. I have. She holds the pennant and, like, everything goes...
Yeah. So, like, they... I guess in there they said that Tesla and Edison didn't like each other.
No, they didn't like each other.
So that's kind of funny.
Tesla and Edison hated each other. We'll do a show on Tesla. We've actually had requests to do a show specifically that would be interesting. Tesla. There was another guy, Alejandro M. Reyna Jr., and he talked, and I really didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about how we're going to switch from a finance-based economy to a resource-based economy based on alternative energy. And he said that it was all explained in a film called Zeitgeist Addendum, which is currently on Netflix.
That sounds fairly interesting.
Jews
in that movie?
Not in that movie.
There's multiple Zeitgeists. There's multiple parts.
And I discovered this week that I don't like any of them.
Really?
They're unwatchable. It's like the narrator has some interesting stuff to say, and then there's like... Dun, 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 wah, wah, wah. And then like static on the screen, and then like a picture of the Capitol building, and then like a quote in words slowly fades in, and then a guitar riff, and then more static, and then another fact. This is horrible.
Brent is already interested.
No, because as soon as Dave leaves today, you hang behind, we're going to cut the guitar mouth out, and we're going to make a whole song out of that.
So I tried my best, Alejandra, to watch the film and see what you were talking about, but I got like 7 minutes into it, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot watch this. Yeah,
so I'll watch it. The issue is Dave thinks he's smarter than you.
No, I just think that documentary filmmaker really loves trying to be overdramatic. But
well, I'll fall for it.
That's how most documentaries are.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, but... Anyway, so that was the comment. But the one that I did enjoy actually led into some other stuff. And Andrew Stevens said, the main issue with clean energy is that there is no way of storing the energy that's made. The power made is introduced to a power grid and used. If it's not used at that time, it's wasted. If a battery type storage was made on a regional basis, clean energy such as solar would be a viable option. But due to the power being introduced to the grid during daylight hours, if it's not used, electrical power plants have to be brought online when the sun sets. Power plants introduce this electricity to the grid at night, and the power grid does not stop during the night. So his concern with specifically solar energy is that it's great all day, but then at night you're going to be reliant upon the grid again.
Are you not allowed to store to battery systems during daylight hours? You have to give it back to the grid?
No, solar charges your battery and then you run off battery at night.
I just didn't know that statement sounded like maybe during daylight hours it's required to go back into the grid and you sell it back versus you being allowed to store it. I would have to imagine you're allowed to store it, but there's all kinds of weird stuff like that where they won't let you store it, or you can't collect rain or something, you can't be off the grid.
Every state has different laws, like as far as solar goes, which is kind of weird, because some are more lenient than others, and so it makes it like if you live in California as opposed to like Mississippi or somewhere, you know,
Arizona has bad laws.
Arizona is a good example of bad laws. You know, you're better off having solar. Maybe not so much in Arizona. You might as well just keep your your you know PG&E in Arizona.
And I had thought this well, and there's a couple. I mean, a couple of response. I think that's a legitimate point to raise, and I think that's a point a lot of people raise because I've heard that a lot of times. The fact that yeah, I get a solar thing, but at night I'm still reliant on the grid. And my response to that tends to be A. It still means all day you weren't reliant on the grid,
which is the peak. That's when it's a plus, hot.
Right? Yeah, especially when nobody's home anyway. Especially living in the desert, living in the summer. Like if I can run my AC and not have to spend money, and then I only need the grid when I'm asleep anyway, like that still feels like a win to me. But the other thing is, especially, and this just got introduced last year, that he announced them and showed them. I think they're not technically shipping yet, but they're still on pre-sale. The Tesla company released its battery called the Powerwall, and the Powerwall is pretty awesome.
Looks like a Ninja Turtle shell.
It does look like a white Ninja Turtle shell that you hang on your wall. And the Powerwall, from everything that I've read, it costs, depending on the version you buy, it's either $3,000 or $3,500. And if
it could change.
What's that?
Pocket change.
Yeah, pocket change. And it's going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. But that's it stores, over the course of the day, it stores 7 kilowatt hours, which they claim is enough to power most houses for the night. So it's still producing your power, but then it's storing power. And then by example, they talk about the fact that a refrigerator takes, so it gives you, it'll store 7 kilowatt hours. It says a refrigerator takes 1.6 kilowatt hours for a whole day. So that gives you a scale. A flat screen TV is 0.1 kilowatt hours per hour. Wow.
The only issue is if you have your Tesla car and you park it in the garage and you charge it, that's 11 kilowatts an hour in 30 minutes. So you're screwed. You can't go anywhere.
That's true.
Those batteries are expandable and stackable too.
Yeah,
right?
They're expandable. You can use 9 of them tethered together for a total storage of 63 to 90 kilowatt hours of storage.
And that's awesome clean energy when batteries are the most caustic things to produce in the world.
Yes.
So
that is part of the problem with what's happening is the construction of batteries.
Think about that feeling you get when you look at your cell phone. You're like, dang it, 5%. Like if you look at your house and you're all, dang it, 5%.
Right. Don't open the fracking fridge.
Yeah, leave the fridge.
That's a cut. Don't open the fracking fridge, okay?
But yeah, if you had that, I think it would honestly make you become more energy conscious. If you like had a like, oh, here's my day's energy use. I have to plug back into the grid. It's like, and I'm watching that tick down. I'm going to be like, oh, snap, I better turn off all these lights and kill some fans.
No, lots of things work that way. I mean, just like taking a picture of the food you eat or something will make you feel guilty because you don't want to take a picture of M&Ms, you know? So my friend Adam Pedroza actually bought a thing that hooks to your meter and then like over Wi-Fi or RF or something gives you a digital readout of the total kilowatts you're using, and you can put it in like your kitchen or wherever you're going to stand. Right. And because you see that number and you know that like your base number should be 5,000, if it says 27,000, you'd be like, oh, something's up. Let me go walk around the house and start turning off lights where normally you wouldn't do that. Right. So bringing that to your attention.
The issue is that goes to a productive person. Like everybody's lazy. You just don't care. People leave lights on because they don't care.
So if you're not mindful too, it's just not in front of you. Well, out of sight.
Not mindful in general.
I think small things will make you mindful. I think like the drought here in California, almost everyone that I talk to, like they now, if they're brushing their teeth, all of a sudden in the middle of it, they realize, oh snap, the water's still on, and they turn the water, like after not even a year of us being told we have to cut 33% of our water consumption, I know a lot of people that just shut water off. It's like, if they're, you know, and I do it myself, I'll be doing the dishes. And I used to just, I'll turn the spigot on, crank it over to warm, and the water's running the whole time I'm doing the dishes. Even when the dishes are all fairly clean and I'm putting them in the dishwasher. Yeah, but now it's like washing as soon as I'm not using the water, it shuts off. And then I do. So
yeah, it's great that people are doing that. You know who's not doing that? The city. Sprinklers and everything running everywhere.
You know what I couldn't do though? Like I've made some changes because of the drought. I do the marine shower sometimes. I'll like get wet, stop the water, soap up, rinse off, and I feel better about it. I pee in the backyard and I'm conducting an experiment on two similar plants to see if there's any change in growth. So we call it peeing like an Indian. I go in the backyard and I pee like a Native American.
Don't eat the tomatoes at Brent's.
Yeah. It's not an edible food crop, though, and I'm not telling anyone which one it is, but there's a specific plant that I pee on.
Don't smoke his marijuana.
That's Trent.
This has a uriny smell to it. That's that yellow.
And the dishwashing, I will get everything sudsed up and then rinse it at will on the other side rather than letting the water run the whole time. But I cannot turn the water off while I'm brushing my teeth. It is some weird thing where it drives me crazy. I don't know. I can't do it. And I'm like, well, it's the least of the problem. It's not that much water. And I battle it. I know it's such a silly, simple thing, but it is some ingrained thing since I was a little kid. It's just a habit, I guess.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, the fact that in less than a year, since there's this big push for it, you're conscious of that.
I'm well aware. I think about it the whole time.
And I think
even
lazy people who don't give a damn, it's like if there were a big push that told them be really aware of the energy that you're using, which I don't know what it's going to take to make that push happen. But I mean, you would be suddenly aware of turning things off. And I mean, I'm aware all summer because I get my PG&E bill in the summer and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
and then it's like the day I get my bill, I start turning everything off in the house.
The issue is though, you have people who are gonna care, who like myself, like I don't, my lawn, you know, people got the winter rye and it's green and I kind of cut my water back so my yard's not as green. I don't water my backyard, you know, like I cut back, you know, but you have people who are, they have some sort of illness, you know, diabetes, and they're gonna die if they don't change their diet. And guess what? They don't change their diet because they don't care. Like there are all types of people. I just heard somebody in the coffee shop today. Like they're talking about some dude that they know who still smokes, and he needs to quit smoking because he's dying, and the doctors only gave him so long to live if he doesn't change the way that he's living. And that's how people are. Like, I think a lot of us know people like that in our life that need to change the way that they live in order to live, and they won't even do that.
But yeah,
you
know, but so I don't know. I mean, that's
water,
true.
Like,
I mean, that's
people
the,
just don't care.
That's the pessimistic truth of humanity. Energy, but it's like, right. I know a lot of people who, once they're told we should be doing this, actually do. And even if you got 50% of the people to suddenly make a switch, that's going to radically help. And there's always going to be people that are like, nope, I'm going to be I'm going to burn dead babies. Like, I don't really care. Like they're going to do
good right
whatever they're going to do. Like they don't care.
Sounds like a plan.
Some of the stuff that I looked at when I started looking at alternative energy, mostly everything that you find these days tends to do with solar because there's such a big push for solar right now in the States. I read that Americans spend 8% of their income on energy, on fuels, on electricity, whether it's gas for your car, whether it's whatever. So that's not an insignificant amount of money. And then I started to look at Solar City, which is the largest in the nation, the largest of the solar things. And again, it's part of the Elon Musk empire, Solar City, Tesla, all that stuff. It's all his brainchild, SpaceX. They put up a solar array in the 18 states where they run every 3 minutes, like on a house. A residential solar array goes up in a house every 3 minutes, which is pretty impressive, I think. Yeah. In 2008, the U.S. had 1.1 gigawatts of photovoltaic electricity being generated. And in 2014, it was 18.3, which is a significant uptick of solar power.
To point out the DeLorean needs 21.1 gigawatts, though, so that's not going to work out.
Well, it will gigawatts. Now because the...
That's a lot.
Because the...
gigawatts.
This, in 2015, they were expected to add 6.2 more, which would take us up to 24.5. Yeah. So you could use all the solar arrays to make the DeLorean go back in time.
Man, I do
I'm
have
sorry,
to say...
To make the DeLorean go
or,
back in time.
Or an old Budweiser, a banana peel, and some eggshells.
I do have to say that like the solar, like the companies, like you had one like pop up, like Solar City popped up because obviously it's owned by Elon Musk, who obviously has the money to just make a huge corporation overnight. But then you have all these other, I swear to God, like 6 or 7 people a month come to my house and try and sell me solar.
Yeah.
And one of the things was like, I actually looked into it. I actually had a guy come from Solar City, because it was when they first started selling the stuff, to my house and do like an estimate, like, oh, you're going to need this many panels. Like, my roof's perfect for the, you know, the way the sun is, and, you know, it'd be able to power it and all that jazz. And he's like, well, how much do you currently pay? And I'm thinking I'm going to cut my power down, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's like $150. It never more than 180. You know, I might get up to 200 in the heat of the summer for a couple months.
Sure.
And he's like, oh, well,
couldn't close you.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, well, you know, it's going to be, you know, this much, it's going to be like 150 a month for this long, you know, and then you do have fees and stuff that you get charged.
It's because that particular type of plan that he was trying to sell you is based off like guarantee you a specific monthly
rate. Yeah.
Instead of actually letting you have the power. Because there's you produce the power and offset your costs, but there's also weird contracts that they say, we'll just guarantee your bill will be $150. Yeah,
there's different ways. Like, they do that where they're leasing you the panels, and the panels, you'll never own them.
Right.
And then there's other ones where you're buying them, where you're basically paying them to buy them, you know, renting to own basically. And they're going to be yours in 20 years,
right,
which they only have a 20 to 30 year lifespan anyway, a lot of them. And then there's the other ones where you buy them outright and they're not cheap. So,
right.
But we can get more into that. We're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to, I don't even know, what are we, who are we?
Joe Rogan Experience.
Sofa King Podcast. That's right.
That's
right. On the radio.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast. Today we are the Solar King Podcast, because we're talking about solar energy and renewable energy. And
was I supposed to come back in? You didn't look prepared for that.
No, I'm always prepared.
Okay. I thought he sounded good until you called him out.
I was a Boy Scout. Yeah. isn't that their motto?
Always prepared?
I don't know. I cheated through all my Boy Scout tests.
Aren't you supposed to report when somebody touches you?
Yes.
Okay.
You are. I never had to make that report.
You sure?
Positive.
Sounds like you're lying.
No.
Go ahead.
One of our listeners said, named John West, he said, Fellers.
Well, frack you,
John. Fellers, check out the low-performing solar farm on the Cal-Nevada border, frying thousands of birds, and still requires great quantities of natural gas to grease the turbines. So,
and I didn't read that, but I did run across it. We were just over break. We were talking about two different power plants end up being the same one. So, so it's the Avampa plant in the Mojave Desert.
And it's run by Bright Source Energy.
Yep. So, and they basically in their first year, it says in an article that their first year in production, 2014, they emitted more than 46,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide. It's nearly twice the pollution threshold for power plants or factories in California to be required to participate in the state's cap and trade program to reduce carbon emissions. So it's doubled the amount of emissions that a power plant is supposed to produce in order to be basically clean air.
I wonder why they're using natural gas. Like, to what power exactly the is
solar
happening?
Array. I couldn't figure it out.
That's weird.
It says the same amount of natural gas is burned at a conventional power plant. We're to produce enough electricity to meet the annual needs of 17,000 California homes, or roughly a quarter of the Avanpa's plant's total electricity projection for 2014. So basically it's a solar plant. If you've ever driven to Las Vegas to State Line, as you get towards State Line, there's a solar array on the left-hand side, and it's huge. You really can't miss it. It's gigantic, especially in the daytime. That's the plant that they're talking about here. And apparently it kills birds. I didn't read that.
So the stats on this plant, it cost $2.2 billion to construct. It was constructed by three companies. One of them is the main company that runs it, Bright Source Energy Plant. I don't know what the name of the other company was. And the third company, because it's the third company that owns everything, was Google. But it's a massive plant. It's 300,000 solar panels. Mirrors, actually, that are each the size of a garage door.
They're huge.
They all focus refocus the heat of the sun.
300,000?
300,000.
They beam them up at this tower.
Yeah, they're not actually solar arrays. They're not absorbing the energy. They're refocusing the solar beams towards three 40-story high boiler towers that they use to generate steam that turns
turbines. So this is where the natural gas comes in. Basically, when there's cloud covers, auxiliary gas boilers kick in, and that's what burns the gas.
So when there's cloud cover, it uses natural gas.
Because they are mirrors, you know, projecting the sun's rays.
That makes it sound not as bad because it's just a natural gas plant that's boiling boilers. They
but you
have
know,
those.
It would be better when the sun goes out, it just stops producing power.
No, because they're actually producing power using natural gas. That's a thing. Like, they're just...
This is something that's supposed to be creating less of a carbon footprint. I mean, this was built under Obama's administration
I think that you maybe just have a pessimistic view about it. It's like, that's if you thought of it in reverse as a natural gas power production plant, and when the sun came out, it started utilizing solar energy and to produce power, but we're thinking about the wrong way. Like, well, just turn it off. Don't do anything.
No. Regardless, the fact that it produces far more.
Twice as much.
It produces twice as much negative emissions as a regular greenhouse or regular natural gas power plant.
I wonder where that is. So that is a problem.
That's the problem. Yeah.
That's
so
why there's
that
an
point,
article on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. At that point, I'm just like, we'll shut it down when it's cloudy.
Yeah, if it was an efficient natural gas plant that just utilized solar as well, that makes sense. But I wonder why it's putting more out.
The other thing is the employees there refer to something called streamers. And the reporter who went to visit the place and was talking to him, and they said, what are streamers? And they said, you'll see one or two of them, or you see about one every 2 minutes is what they sort of estimate happens. And the streamers are birds who light on fire while they're flying through the air to their death.
Because they flew through a beam.
It's like
a magnifying glass on
an
ant.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But the thing is, the power plant estimates that 1,000 birds are killed per year flying over the power plant. But the Center for Biological Diversity thinks the number is closer to 28,000 birds per year.
As long as they eat them, though.
No, they don't eat them.
They just heat them.
So I think though too, like the reason they're doing these plants though is they're energy companies, obviously. But they got a $1.6 billion loan from the government, and then they gave them $600 million, which was the 0.6 of that loan in federal tax credits. So. Like they're basically making money, and this was funded as a greenhouse project, so it just doesn't make sense that they're allowed, you know, so many emissions to keep running.
Right. And the other thing, the guy who talks about the death, one of the guys from the in charge of the Cal Audubon Society, had a quote, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? He said, quote, the deaths are alarming. It's hard to say whether they're caused by the location or the technology. The hell do you mean? Were 28,000 birds lighting on fire here before they built the solar array?
Because
I suspect, I don't think the location is what's killing the bird. And then the other thing is they decided to offer the Bright Source Energy Plant $1.8 million in compensation for the bird deaths.
Weird. How do you put a number on that?
Exactly.
Like,
and who,
$20 a bird.
What, to the families of the birds? Like, what?
But maybe it goes back into like environmental protection.
No. I read what it does.
Okay.
I have a hard time with it. Some people.
I'm trying to be positive today here.
They actually gave.
There's no positives about solar energy.
They gave.
People
they
die.
They gave the $1.8 million dollars
every day
to spay and neuter cats. Because cats nationally kill 1.8 billion birds a year.
Hey, I like to say Snickers and a Diet Coke like I always do, man. That's a zero. That works out. I think it's okay.
So they're giving money to spay and neuter cats to keep other birds from dying,
man,
to make up for their bird death footprint.
I think this it's is awesome.
I think it's so fine. I'm going to make a Sophie King podcast that says
but again,
Snickers and
if
a
it's
Diet
a
Coke.
Solar array that's sophisticated solar panels, that isn't a danger for birds. They would just fly over solar panels. But when they're redirecting the sun's, and they're actually, that same company was planning on building a larger one out near Joshua Tree. But because of all this, different agencies are involved and saying, until we know what's happening here and until you have a plan to keep all these birds from dying.
What do you mean
dying,
until we know
not.
What's happening? They're flying through beams of sun and catching on fire.
What would you have them do though, really?
They said that if they built it at a different elevation or if they built if they changed the angles of the mirrors or built the mirrors higher or lower than it would be above the typical flight threshold of most birds,
Like I on say a they daily... could probably do some weird magnetic thing where the birds just avoid the situation or something, or like a high pitched frequency or something.
They'll come up with
something. Bugs will crawl away. Yeah. Something else will happen if you do that.
Yeah, exactly. And then it'll cause other problems as
people,
well.
People are brain tumors.
It's all that stuff. So that was
well.
That
and,
was
and the other, the, I had a hard time finding actual like stats on, and maybe I just suck at researching, which I do, but I mean, I didn't think Google would let me down, but I had a hard time finding like production of solar panels. Like it's quartz. You have to mine quartz. There's a bunch of chemicals, caustic chemicals that when you're putting them together, you have to use, there's water that goes into that they have to dispose of. That's hazardous.
Right. Right.
It's a very hazardous process. I mean, just like batteries. But I had a hard time finding any stats on it. I don't know if you found any on like production of hazardous materials
I found
that
a little
goes
bit.
Into the environment.
I found a little bit because, again, one of our listeners.
It's like a cover up almost because normally you can find this stuff like.
Right, right. One of our listeners, she said, she says the name of a school. I don't know the initial. CMU. I don't know what university that
you would
is.
Kalamazoo University.
Kalamazoo?
I don't know. CMU has a huge building for the school's gym and indoor track and basketball, et cetera. It's just a huge building with everything. Their treadmills and electrical equipment downstairs help power 50% of that building. And then the rest is solar, but is which I thought was really kind of cool. Like the building that is the gym, they use all of the elliptical machines to generate power for the building.
Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah, Carnegie Mellon University. But then it says, but is all the, with the solar panels and all that, is all that cost effective in the long run? Everything manufactured will create waste and takes energy to make every bolt and screw. So if you looked at every little detail going into other energy options, is it worth it? Too much solar panels sucking up the warm rays of the sun instead of good old Mother Earth. What does that cause? Everything has a cause and effect. Just like Tesla energy saving cars, the batteries are highly expensive and toxic and cannot just be deposited anywhere and need to be replaced every 10 years if it doesn't explode first. Just saying, everything has an upside and a downside. So, I mean, that is true.
I think that's true.
Yeah. We get the batteries.
But if you're going to build a gym anyway, you might as well utilize the kinetic movement to grab that.
If you hook a generator
to something that's moving. So
that makes sense.
And if it's going to hit the ground anyway and you put a solar panel in the way, I don't think you're stopping the heating of the earth or something unless it was at some huge scale.
Right.
And I think it's part of Elon Musk's plan to take over the world. Like if he owns power, I mean, think about it. If you own power and you own what everybody's using and you make people think that that they're doing something positive for the environment when really it's kind of a
I don't think Elon Musk is evil. He's given up.
No, I'm just saying that like, but you don't know either. I mean, like,
no, he gave away patents for electric engines and stuff.
it's just like people thinking that they're doing something good, but really it's not very good, you know. Like,
I think ultimately it's just a matter of figuring out how
it's about time and cost, what's gonna happen.
Right now it's the viable thing to burn coal and stuff, and it's still cheaper at six cents per kilowatt versus 15 cents per kilowatt.
But
if you, all of the things, like the sun is an infinite resource. It like in 40 minutes or something, enough sun hits the earth to power like the United States for 1 year in 40 minutes when it hits the earth. So it's just a matter of capturing and collecting it efficiently and effectively. And then the kinetic motion thing, like utilizing a gym. How many gyms are in the United States?
Right.
If you stuck some cool little thing on the side of every exercise bike and treadmill in the entire world and retrofit that, how much does that make?
Which is actually the plot of an episode of Black Mirror.
I love that show. How many people are walking on the sidewalk in New York? How many cars are driving on the road? How many wheels are turning in something? How much water is running through a river? Tidal motions.
Well, because I mean, one of the stats that I read was that if 4% of the world's deserts were covered in solar arrays, it would produce as much energy as every power plant on Earth right now.
Yeah, it's just sitting there. It's just a matter of capturing it effectively and efficiently.
And here's my thought on it, because I was curious about the same thing. And from what I found in the amount of time that I looked up, looking at the pollution of stuff versus the benefit, just looking at carbon, it said that building a carbon plant takes 6,000 metric tons of carbon. Building a solar plant that's generating solar panels will cost 6,000 metric tons of carbon to build the actual facility. But it said that the statistics in the long run say that this everything that that carbon plant produces, that solar plant produces, will offset the nation's carbon footprint by 560,000 metric tons of carbon. So looking just at carbon, we're seeing that building this solar factory costs a lot of carbon, but in the long run, it saves us 100 times as much carbon as it cost us. And I think part of the thing is, yeah, I mean, the batteries in our laptops, the batteries in our electric cars, the batteries in our cell phones, they're very toxic, dangerous things, and they don't belong in a landfill, and we need to have better disposal, information and so forth. But I think we're chasing boogeymen. Right now, the boogeyman is greenhouse gases, the boogeyman is carbon emissions, the boogeyman is global warming, and no doubt these things are stopping that boogeyman, like the boogeyman of coal burning, the boogeyman of fossil fuels. All this stuff is a stop to the downside of that energy. See, there's going to be another pollution, because all energy causes pollution. If I burn a tree in my backyard to stay warm at night, I've caused pollution. It's all going to cause pollution. We're just causing a different type of toxic solid pollution that, again, future generations are going to have to deal with. But I would almost argue we could deal with more easily, because now the pollution is a solid toxic thing that I'm holding that we can eject into space. We can figure out something. We can recycle it.
Pissed
we can
off do, aliens.
Like, but I mean, when it's just gas coming out of a tailpipe, there's nothing you can do to capture it easily.
Yeah.
But when I have a dead battery in my electric car, I take it back to the dealership. I get a new battery. If they have a way to responsibly deal with that. But again, I think it's all about chasing the current boogeyman. And right now, these things are coming up because constant wars about oil, constant oil fluctuation. I think we're just battling the current fight, even though it's going to lead to a future fight.
Yep, and we do have a little bit of time. I guess we can go to a break early to end on that rant. Right,
probably safer.
So yeah. I wanted to interject a couple of things, but you know what? F me. Frack me.
Frack you.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You listen to the Sofa King podcast on whatever radio station we're on.
At any given time, yes.
At any given time, and the internets. Bye. No words.
Drawn out awkwardness.
What? It's awkward now.
There's useful information we need to say, Brad. Let's go. Right. Come on.
Bye.
You're listening to the Sofa King podcast. Today's discussion is alternative energy. We've primarily been talking about solar power right now. In summary, if you're just tuning in, the uptick is solar energy is getting much cheaper. It's becoming very popular in the United States. Questions arise about how this power is stored, whether or not the power plants are good, and whether or not the batteries in the long run become a bigger detraction to the environment than what you gain from the solar power. But it is a big thing, and it is becoming very, very cheap, and it's something that you yourself might look into. It no longer costs $40,000 to put a solar array on your house. You can do it pretty affordably or free if you want to let somebody else do it. But we want to look at other alternative energy sources from typical fossil fuel burning. And a big one is ethanol, right? A lot of people point towards ethanol, point towards using it to make biodiesel, to make different fuels like that. And ethanol, of course, comes primarily from corn. So you're going to get it from a corn crop and you're going to end up making it. And I know, Brent, you were saying that you had problems.
I just don't think it's a viable source because it's a shared resource. It's a food crop. It's something we eat. It requires huge quantities of land, and it's only probably economical because corn's subsidized. So it probably wouldn't be cost effective to do it. And with growing population and whatnot, we need all the land we can do just for agriculture to just waste it away on something that could be used for off something that's more infinite of a resource, like the sun or wind would make more sense to me.
Okay, so that one's out next.
Boom.
Well actually, the counter to it is, and again, it was a high government subsidy, was the country of Brazil.
Right.
Because during the oil embargoes and the oil crisis in the 70s, Brazil was actually run by a military dictatorship, and there were really strict embargoes against them importing oil. So starting in the 70s, they made a declaration that they were going to reach energy independence, so they didn't need energy from anybody else in the world. And in the 70s, they started switching over to ethanol fuel. They started building flex cars. They had their company called Petrobras start installing ethanol pumps at every single gas station in the nation. And now 95% of all cars there are ethanol-based cars or flex cars that can use either. And they have a massive ethanol and corn industry, which is one of the sort of pillars of Brazil. But they also, they do have massive oil reserves that they discovered offshore. They have really smart wind farms. They have water farms. They've done a lot of stuff to get away from foreign oil because they don't want to rely on it. And now they're the only nation on earth that has 100% true oil independence. And a big push of that was on ethanol, but it was a right. government.
I just think that it's still regional. It's geographical. Like, you have to have a specific climate and environment, like level of coffee, sun to be able to grow that. Yeah, and I think to diversify the energy availability through different sources, it makes more sense so that you're not dependent upon one place.
Yeah, but you can do your own. Like, so if your place is high wind, you can't do ethanol, but you can do wind.
That, my argument, sure. my argument's just against ethanol. I'm just saying, like, so yeah, if all of a sudden have a freeze and their entire crop's gone, their sole dependency was on ethanol, where most people have wind at some altitude. Right. You know what I mean? You can do these new, they have flying wind turbines that don't have to be 500 feet tall and the size of a 747. They just float these things up and tether them down, and they're light and they're easy to fix and they're cheap, and everyone has wind, and you're probably not going to run out of it. If anything, weather patterns might change and you could have too much of it.
I just really like Brazil in this example, not because of the ethanol factor, but because they decided as a nation
to make
in
a
the
move
70s,
to do it.
We're making a move to get away from oil. And if they had instead, if their brutal military dictator instead said, we want to do electric cars in the 70s, and they started picking, you know, they would have been the leader in electric cars or whatever. We want to, if they would have picked a different focus than ethanol, they would now be the, but I mean, a country could do that. A country could say, our focus is this.
I didn't know that about them.
If they have the land to dedicate to it, fine. If you have the resource available, I'm not saying don't do it, but I just don't think it's a viable option, like,
and
worldwide
they're,
to
they're not trying
on.
To get away from oil. They have massive oil reserves that they discovered in the 90s. Off of their shores. So they
Brazil
have oil.
South America is a huge.
But it's oil their depot. Oil. Like, they don't import any energy. They only export.
And as far as vehicles, too, because that points a lot at vehicles, is something that I came across, and it's one of those things that's like an internet conspiracy. You never know, but there's a guy who made a car that runs off water. And I looked at it and looked at it and looked at it because it feels like one of those goofy, like, oh, that's just some weird crap. But in the 80s, there was a guy named Stanley Myers, and he invented a water fuel cell that basically just did hydroconversion. It broke water down to oxygen and hydrogen and utilized it right in the cylinder. Like, I think it even bypassed like
your
carburetor. But he did this in the 80s, and there was, like, at the time it was like, oh, defense contractors were coming to meet him. Generals came and met with him. There's tons of news videos you can see about it.
You can do that to your own car.
Right. I mean, but then why isn't it just happening? It's water. You know what I mean? Like, why there's zero emission.
Yeah. You basically hook up electric current to plates in water, and it turns water into hydrogen.
I remember Steve ran a carburetor at his house and did it in his garage.
No, yeah, I did it too. We were doing different things. No, there was a guy that drove around in a 2006 F-150 truck, and he had a glass mason jar buckled into the front of it with a regulator on it inside, and basically it would send hydrogen into his carburetor, and his truck would use less fuel. You get like 60 miles a gallon.
Yeah, it supplemented his fuel.
Yeah, it supplemented it because it would be running off the hydrogen and needed less actual fuel.
But it's a joke. If your homeboy has it in a freaking mason jar in his front seat, it's like every Ford car could have a similar setup in their engine, cutting your fuel cost in half.
And you literally can do it. There was a big push. They were using it on diesel trucks.
It's clearly like a suppression of technology. Motor. Like,
it works on every motor. Hydrogen is super combustible. Like, I mean, you can blow stuff up.
So Stanley Myers, though, just to say, like, the story goes, like, you can get like his autopsy report online and whatnot. On his autopsy report, he didn't mention
that he was dead. You just cut straight to the autopsy.
He died, and under weird circumstances. He was apparently in a meeting with NATO or something to sign some type of contract about something, because he was also an inventor of other things, but the most prominently known for that fuel cell.
Tesla killed him.
He was at a Cracker Barrel. They had a toast of some sort with cranberry juice, and within seconds or something of him drinking his cranberry juice, he stood up and walked outside, and his brother chased him outside, and he said, "I was poisoned," began vomiting, and died.
Wow.
The out.
So yeah. He knew something. So,
but that's no, the guy that invented the water car.
Hydrogen. Yeah. Hydrogen's BMW has one. Honda has one. There's a couple other. Toyota has one, and they're hydrogen powered vehicles. The issue is people have to get on board with it.
Those
are different though. You have to go to a hydrogen fueling station, which California is working on hydrogen fueling stations. Yeah. But this guy literally had like a dune buggy Volkswagen that he poured a jug of water into a tank.
And that's the concept I was talking about. The issue is if you're just going to run it off that, it would be a low powered motor probably. If you took from the 80s to now, it could have been developed into something big.
For sure. The thing fit in the palm of your hands and it just replaces your spark plug and then hooks to like some kind of weird little computer that regulates it. But why is that not happening?
And a big part of it, I mean, you mentioned the fact that it does a low powered motor. And I know a lot of people when electric cars were first coming out, they were like, you know, I don't want that because if I have to like go over the grapevine or go to LA, I'm not going to have any power and blah, 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 blah. And I'm talking to people, I'm like, well, how often do you go to LA? And they're like, I don't know, like once a year. And I'm like, so you're gonna just like, you're gonna not buy it you never drive more than 5 miles from your house. Like, what do you care that you can't get over the grapevine? Rent a car and go over the grapevine. I mean,
and I don't know that nobody's powered, you know,
nobody's willing to embrace these things.
I said that, but
it's like,
no, I think,
I mean, the same thing with like pure electric cars. Like, I know a couple of people who have, what is it, the Volt, mm-hmm. the pure electric car. A couple of people I work with
have one.
Yeah. And people say, you know, well, it's just got like a limited range. Like, I can't drive to San Francisco without having to stop a bunch of times and fuel it. And it's like, well, how often are you driving to San Francisco? You're not. You're driving from your house to campus, from campus to Albertsons, from Albertsons to your house. Your Volt is cool. You decide you need to go out of town, go to freaking Hertz and rent a car.
The crazy thing is, though, is that, like, we think about it as like a viable thing. Like, oh, renewable energy, cool. You know, get rid of oil, which we can't get rid of oil. We make tons of things out of oil.
No.
And that's not the
point.
But
we can get rid of burning oil.
Burning
as a
oil
fuel.
For a carbon footprint, yes. And but the other thing is, like, you got to think about, homeboy was killed at a restaurant because somebody probably didn't want him getting out with his stuff.
Sure.
And oil companies and other, I mean, who knows? Like Brent says, Elon Musk is an evil. I don't know about that. We don't know the guy. He could be taking over power in general and just running.
He does
things.
Have a really weird Highlander accent. I've only seen one other guy with that accent.
But even with it, there was a...
Maybe he is a freaking Highlander.
He's the one right now.
There was a documentary a couple of years, I guess a while ago now, but there's a documentary called Who Killed the Electric Car?
Right.
Because in the 90s, they created an electric car and they only leased them. They made a limited run. Everybody who owned them loved them, but they wouldn't ever sell them. It was only a lease, so you never actually owned it. And once it started to pick up and everybody started to like it for no apparent reason, the car company said, nope, we're done, and forced everyone to give their cars back.
Because
that was part of what was in
the
lease.
You have so many people involved in losing money if that takes over.
Right. But it was fully viable and it was working and it was very successful.
The Volt had a similar story like that where a bunch of cars just sat on like a lot and you couldn't buy them or something like that. There was some weird stuff
it all comes down to money, man.
Yeah, it does.
It's really...
Because trust me, if anybody is in bed with big oil, it's the car companies.
Yep.
I mean, I just don't understand why companies like PG&E and power companies and they don't just switch. Like, it's like the Radio Shack thing. Like, how is Radio Shack a cell phone company that didn't sell computers? They were primed to be a tech company and now they're like a cell phone distributor. The same thing can happen with PG&E.
And
they already have the infrastructure, the power lines in place. How do they not just move to solar and wind?
Well, they are those. PG&E has wind plants. They have solar plants. Like, they're doing all that stuff. Like, but they're just not going to get rid of their other power plants.
Well, I don't know why PG&E themselves aren't knocking on my door and
that's
saying,
what I'm saying.
Hey, we'd like to install a solar array on your house. This is what it'll take off of your bill. Like, why am I going to Elon Musk? PG&E should be installed. I mean, I'm running through the PG&E power grid, even if I have Elon Musk.
Their
stuff
wires
on my
are
head.
Already at your house.
Exactly.
And it benefits them. If they would have already got their foot in the door and said, look, we're going to put this on there, but we're going to charge you way less, no one would have ever even got the scent of the fact that they could produce their own power.
Maybe Mr. CEO didn't get the hint.
And a lot of states, like one of the reason I said Arizona earlier is Arizona made a law because a lot of people started to get cheap solar because of these rebates. And then they pulled the rebates because their power utility, because power utilities are basically monopolies over their area. They were losing money based on solar. So they had a law passed that basically said every single person who installed a solar array on their house had to pay a $50 a month fee in order to have a solar array on their house, at which point everyone everyone stopped bothering to put solar arrays
on their
house.
The government incentives of like tax credits of 30% and subsidized rates and selling back at forced rates to the power company, like the power company's forced to buy it at like 17 cents a kilowatt when they could buy it from a solar farm for 5 cents. Once that stuff goes away, unless the technology and the efficiency of production increases to a level that it makes sense to buy it, people aren't going to make out for it. It's not going to happen.
And this is why I like Elon Musk because he's got the clout to make that shift happen. I mean, even when I read in 2008, a particular unit on the solar unit that makes the power go back into it cost something like $4 per solar panel.
Right.
And now it only costs 67 cents per solar panel.
Right.
So it's like because of people like Elon Musk doing this mass production of stuff, they are being able to.
But I was reading, though, that solar prices aren't going to go down, though. Like, that's the general consensus, is that once this stuff gets, you know, like the Tesla car, you know, it started out being $500,000, now it's $100,000, you know, and it's going to get cheaper and cheaper. I was reading, and these are just personal blogs or people who write or in the power industry,
right,
are saying that solar power is not going to get cheaper and cheaper.
Way to say that you're not allowed to not be connected to the grid, because some China company will make it and you could put it on your roof yourself, but they'll say that it has to be installed by a professional and you can't be off the grid, and now there's this weird connection fee because of solar monitoring causes some type of problem on their side. I have to say, because I know we're going to run out of time, there's the guy that owns 5-Hour Energy Drink has a documentary.
Okay.
I watched some of it. I watched it sleepily one night. It's super interesting, but he invented 5-Hour Energy Drink and made billions of dollars like in a short amount of time. And this guy is the coolest down-to-earth guy that just wants to fix the planet. He is like Steve Jobs, but cooler and Indian. Like, he's amazingly innovative. He hired a team and just said, buy whatever you want because I don't need this money, but it has to be something innovative that helps the world or entertaining, or else it's useless and I don't care about it. So he stated that 3 billion people in the world are without or have under 3 hours of power per day. So half of the world's population, we don't realize that, half the world's population lives with no power. They have to like cook dinner in the dark because they can only afford one candlelight hour.
And he won't be happy until they have 5 hours.
And that was my argument. They couldn't do it during the day. I don't understand.
Just eat late. Just eat earlier. Just eat earlier. Anyway. That's done. That doesn't cost anything.
Anyway.
So he invented, that he didn't invent, his team of engineers, and his hiring process is so cool. He looks for people that are so outside the box that one of the guys he got was someone like on YouTube that invented a pogo stick that ran off of a pneumatic nail gun. So they contacted the guy and said, I like what you do, and got him because he thinks so weird and outside the box. They made an exercise bike that you can pedal for 1 hour that will run a house for 24 hours. And it doesn't really cost anything. It's just made out of like milled aluminum. There's a big flywheel, some pedals and a chain, and what looks like a car alternator and a little LED readout. And he sits there and pedals it and powers 16 regular household lights, charges a tablet, charges a phone, and runs a fan, all while he's just pedaling at a normal pace.
I do want to say I don't think he charges a big fat American house for 24 hours.
No, probably not. This just lights. Yeah. Lights. Yeah. And
those things
like
that you show.
Basic amenities.
16 lights, a tablet, a phone, and a fan.
No, legit. Yeah. But you're not going to crank the AC and have your fridge running.
No, but to
these
someone,
guys don't even have power.
Right,
though.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly, exactly.
So to the normal, so someone living in a hut that can't afford a candle, they can distribute those into one center where 37 people are pedaling bikes and powering an entire village or town.
You know what this turns into? People.
That's right.
Maybe. Giant hamsters.
Yeah.
I have a bike energy farm where I just have a bunch of kids riding bikes for days on end.
But that's to everyone, billions and change. Go watch that. It's 45 minutes and it's super interesting. And he does desalination and all kinds of things that people, why aren't they just doing it? He does some really innovative things.
And I'm really thankful.
It comes down to corporations.
I'm really thankful to people like him. I mean, I'm really thankful to people like Elon Musk. I'm really thankful to these billionaires
who aren't just sitting. Bill Gates does desalination stuff.
He does, trying to get rid of malaria. Like, I mean, we have a lot of billionaires. I mean, even Bill Clinton, like the Clinton Foundation is one of the largest.
I think
you just
get bored when you have tons of money.
Exactly. Like, God bless these. I mean, all the old billionaires were like building castles and like riding zebras and being ridiculous.
Riding zebras.
But like, we have this new generation of billionaires that's trying to change the world, and I think it's pretty freaking fantastic.
I gave a homeless man $5 the other day, and I'm not a billionaire. So I'm like a hundredaire.
I don't give homeless people money.
So it's a bigger deal that I did that. So thank me,
homeless
sir.
Man can get a job.
Yeah, so, I still gave him $5. Yeah. I don't care.
Anyway, do we have any? That's it for alternative energy. If we missed anything, yell at us on Facebook. Twitter.
We did
a lot. So
that's a part two, yeah.
No, it's not.
I don't want to study for it again, but there's still a lot to say.
So, there's a lot to say. There is a lot to say.
Want to give a thanks to everybody who's chiming in on Facebook. and other social media outlets, our Facebook, selfkingpodcast.com, and just hitting us up and general talking crap to us. That's always fun to read.
Yep.
So keep it up. And if you have anything, you know, important, just keep it to yourself because I don't care.
Kyle Mason.
Oh, there, there you go, supposed to mention Kyle Mason.
Done.
Which
we don't know what you're talking about. I got to look it up.
I gave Brent that information a long time ago.
No, no. We mentioned that. This is new. He commented, and last time we gave a long laundry list of people, and then
he didn't get mentioned.
He didn't get missed. Yeah.
He's all by himself in mentioning. So so that's all we have for today's show. We're out of time. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We had fun. I'm tired. I have postpartum depression.
You're bad at goodbyes.
Yeah, I want to kill it, baby. So anyway, that's it for the show. Don't be a retard. What is it? Maniac, brainiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James.